Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Fiction. Science fiction. Horror. Fantasy. Crime. LGBT. Thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery with your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
Heard on 106.5 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 105.0 AM Palm Springs.
Welcome back into the House of Mystery, and I'm Al Warren, sitting on the sidelines, and we've got Mr. David Nor'easter Martino.
New name.
Well, I mean, Nor'easter this week. Aren't you getting another storm, too, or something like that?
Oh, yeah. It's unrelenting. But right now, it's like in the 40s, so it's not too bad. So.
Oh, yeah. I don't mind 40s, actually. I kind of like 40s, but I'm a Seattle boy. So yeah. 40s, 50s is quite good. It's comfortable for me. You know, I can still wear New shorts.
Exactly. Shorts and a hoodie, right?
Yeah, shorts, hoodie, do the whole thing. Nobody
Ice coffee.
Yeah, that's me. Hmm. I have to laugh. Did you see that on the morning cycle of the news? There's that OK Corral or whatever, that buffet.
And there's the alleged steak.
Yeah, but the big fight over it. There was a big 40 people throwing chairs and everything because they were fighting over the last steak.
Yeah. They said alleged. I did see that. It was allegedly he ran out of steak.
Well, you know, but the funny, you know, they would just get more, wouldn't they? I mean, when they something empties in the buffet, they just bring out more later. Right?
Well, I don't think they – I think they ran out of steak supposedly the restaurant-wide.
Yeah. Well, like it's steak anyway. Come on. it's steak, but maybe not beef, you know, but I don't know, you know, I certainly wouldn't fight over it. You know, there's no more steak, there's no more meatballs, you know, it's preformed usually anyway, you know, it's like this thing, it looks like the McRib, you know,
without a bun, so
it's
like, sauce and...
yeah, like this is normal. You know, this world just keeps going crazier every day. Anyway, yeah, you know, it's all your fault.
It is.
Anyway, so we'll move on today. We've got another writer today, very interesting guest here. So we'll just jump right into it. So let's welcome Willow Starling to the show. How are you doing, Willow?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you gentlemen doing?
Good. We're staying away from the buffet.
That's right. Besides that, we're awesome.
Good move.
Yeah. They've been throwing stuff at me. I never trust anybody. This is your first book, of course, I guess. It's called Death, Judgment, and the Tower. So, well, the whole thing ties together, I guess. I was going to say, tell us about your life and how you got into writing the book, but it's probably something to do with who you are. So,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So how does this start? Like, where did it start for you? Where you actually thought in your mind, well, I'm going to write a book about this, and it's going to involve a lot of things that mean something to me. So let's start out there.
Well, let's see. Well, the thing that, well, I guess like after like the first 3.5 years of being an out trans woman, I was sitting on my bed one day and I was thinking to myself, huh, well, these experiences would make a very interesting horror novel. And it honestly went from there. The first part of the novel was me like working through all my trauma of all the experiences I've been through. There was first few months where, you know, I wasn't that convincing as the gender that I am. And, you know, I had a few rude people here and there say a few things, and I had I've had some gentlemen come up to me and like just start being out and out like sexual to me in conversation. I'm just like, oh, hey, hello, sir. How's the weather? Oh. And yeah, like it would just come out of nowhere. And by the time I got into like a legitimate relationship with a man, he was very self-cautious about the whole thing the entire time we were together. Like seemingly every single day, like he would just be very uptight. He didn't feel comfortable around me, and I knew he didn't. And I would keep trying to ask him like, hey, is there something wrong? But he would just be like, oh, no, nothing. And then give it about a week and he would talk about, oh, hey, so my brother, I told him about you and he started making fun of me. So if you could, like, you know, try to speak up a couple octaves, or, you know, hey, I'm going to tell him that I actually got you pregnant. I'm just like, are you serious?
Wow.
That's just a small sliver of what I had to put up with.
I can say I understand it, but because I've been in the gay community my whole life, I'm 60 years old. I've seen a lot of changes and lived in a few cities. So I kind of get it. But I'm sort of surprised in a sense that there's still this much difficulty that trans people are going through in the public. Like, I understand in some areas it's really hard for people to accept, and, you know, and maybe some people are extremely conservative religious and they sort of have this issue with anything different. But so why would this guy want to go out if he's so upset about it or so on guard by this?
I think he was probably very conflicted inside of himself. Like, on one end, he wanted to be with a transgender woman. And let me try to find a TV PG way of saying this. Being with a woman with unique equipment, we'll just say that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so basically he wanted a chick with a stick.
Exactly, there we go.
Okay.
So he wanted that, but he didn't want, like, you know, any of the social backlash that came with it. And whenever he felt that coming along, then, you know, he started taking it out on me. Like, he wasn't like yelling and screaming or anything, but he would just be like, hey, you know, like, can you, like, you know, why'd you stop wearing makeup? Like, start wearing makeup every day again. And I'm just like, but I don't want to. I'm at home and I'm not going outside.
Right. Right.
Like,
yeah. No, I mean, yeah. I'm always confused by it a little bit because I understand. See, for you, it's you are a woman in a man's body, and so you want to transition to the correct body so that you feel comfortable and you can live happy. So I think I've got that. That's the basic part of that. From his point of view, he wants to be with a man that appears to be a woman.
Yeah, that's definitely one way to put it. He definitely wanted to, you know, be with, as you said, a chick with a stick.
Yeah.
And even then, like, he would, you know, he wasn't 100% like, you know, confiding in me with that, because on one end he would act uncomfortable with it, on the next end, like, we're in the middle of doing certain things, and then like 2 days later he's freaking out about it, and I'm just like, okay, dude, come on.
Wow. So that led to a lot of the turmoil. Now, you've incorporated that in your book as well, I guess.
Oh yeah. So not so much specifically on the specific type of woman that he wanted, but basically the main character's soon to be ex, he basically a closeted bisexual. And he does not want anybody to know that. He wants everybody around him to think that, he's a straight man. He only exclusively dates women. And he takes his frustrations out on Kelly because people can tell that Kelly is trans.
Mm. So now Kelly McElvoy, I guess that's your main character. How much of you do you think goes into Kelly?
Oh, there's actually quite a bit. It almost became a joke with my roommates and I, because at some point I would just look at them and say, yeah, it's basically me with red hair.
Well, but does it, when you share a lot of yourself like this in a book that anybody can pick up and read, right? So, Joe Blow down the road can just pick it up and read it, and it's about you. It's a lot of your feelings, a lot of the turmoil, a lot of the things that you've experienced. So you're kind of being vulnerable in a sense by letting that come out. Does that sort of bother you, or how do you feel about that?
Oh, that used to bother me. Let's see. Back about 4 years ago, I did some film projects when I was going to community college for filmmaking. And I wrote a couple scripts for some class projects, and they were very deeply personal. They gave away a few details about my life that at first I was comfortable with, but then the final product shows on the screen and all my classmates are watching this. And then I start wanting to backtrack. I start being like, should I put this on film? But, I found that a lot of those feelings are basically, it's a lot of shadow work that I had to do for myself that I hadn't done 4 years ago, but I have actually managed to do a lot of that shadow work last year. Like summer last year, I went on a major spiritual journey and I was able to work through, okay, why do I have these insecurities? Why do I have these issues? And am I going to be prepared to be this personal with this novel when it goes out? Because when it goes out, there's no going back. So it was just a lot of shadow work, yeah.
Did you take up writing kind of like as a catharsis from the things that you've gone through? Is that what drove you to create a novel?
Well, I've always been a reader when I was a kid, and I was also into film and video. And at first, it was looking like my future was going to be in the movies. Like, I would always write a bunch of screenplays. None of them have ever seen the light of day, of course. And I think what inspired me to do a book specifically was the freedom that screenplay writing wasn't giving me. Because when you write a screenplay, you're going to have to keep in mind certain things like budget. Like, what's the budget of the movie? So I probably couldn't have 10 explosions. I can't have 10 houses exploding in, a shoestring budget film. However, if I'm writing a book, I can write whatever I want. Like, I can go as, small scale or as big scale as I please. And that was really appealing to me.
Now, your book, you've got it into what you say is three parts. So I'm guessing death, judgment, and the tower are the three parts. Maybe explain what each part is.
Oh, absolutely. So the first part is called death. And by the way, the name actually comes from three different major arcana in the tarot deck. There's the death card, the judgment card, and the tower card. And the name of part one, death, actually reflects the meaning of the death card in the deck. And that is, it's not what a lot of people think. They think it means literal death, but really, whenever you get the death card, it more than likely is signifying a rebirth of something or someone. And what's happening in part one of Death, Judgment, and the Tower is that Kelly, her old self, is dying off, albeit in a very grueling way, and she is getting ready for her rebirth at the end of part one. And then part two, Judgment, that's an absolution. That is where she goes from the ending of part one, and she starts beginning ascending spiritually to her highest form. and then the tower. What the tower is in the tarot deck, it usually signifies an upheaval that brings significant and necessary change. Usually a tower moment isn't very beautiful. It's usually a big mess, but it's very necessary, and the changes that come out of it are spectacular. So what happens in part three is that Kelly is going to have a couple of major tower moments. Like, okay, you have reached this point of spiritual ascension. Are you going to stick with it despite these next couple challenges, or are you going to revert back to your old ways?
At the end of the book, like, if someone picks up your book, takes it home, reads it, and then when they're finished, what is it you hope that they get or take away from that book besides the story itself?
Well, there's a couple things. One that ultimately, like, they're like, despite how villainous somebody may seem, there's always a reason behind it. Like, if somebody is being like very treacherous towards you, that it's because they're in a lot of pain themselves and they haven't done the healing that they need to do. Like, a lot of the characters, especially in the beginning of the book, like, at first it seems like the villains are pretty cut and dry. Like, okay, these are terrible people. They're doing this and that to our protagonist here. But then as you go along, you start finding out their motivations behind why they're so cruel to her. And it's actually, it goes from, like, you know, a straight up horror to, like, almost becoming like a tragedy, you know, by the time you get to the third part, because you're just like, wow, these people have really been through the ringer.
And so, you know, going through the experience from the beginning to the end, and when you were writing this book and putting it down on paper or in the laptop or however it was, but at the end of the book and you get it all done and you hit send and it's published, how do you think this process has changed you?
Well, it's definitely been an interesting piece of trial and error, because whenever I went into this, like, I had no idea what I was doing. I was just like, okay, I'm just going to write a book. I'm going to go into Readsy. I'm going to write this book, and then I'm just going to go from there and see what's next. And, you know, I went to a couple different sites. I went to the Barnes & Noble Press. I went to Amazon. Amazon got things done the most quickly, and then by the time the book was out there, I was just like, yay, that's great. Now what? And then I just began putting random posts on different Facebook groups. I talked about the book on LGBTQ Facebook groups, and then I talked about the book on horror Facebook groups, which the latter of the two, they definitely had a good response. I had a couple people reach out and give me some, you know, excellent advice. I found out, okay, this is going to be kind of embarrassing. I found out about a thing called editors. I did want to get different people to do, like, different tasks for this book. Like, I wanted somebody else to do the book cover. I wanted somebody to proofread the book to make sure that I didn't leave a bunch of spelling mistakes in there. I was 4 months unemployed whenever, by the time I got the book finished. So I was like, okay, I'm going to do my best. I'm going to paint this book cover. And then what I'm going to do, I'm going to read through the entire book, give myself a week, read through the book again, give myself another week, read through it again. And I was actually surprised by how many errors I would find, like, with every subsequent read. I would just be like, really?
This is why we have proofreaders and editors.
Yeah, it's normal.
Exactly.
It's normal. It doesn't matter how many you've written or how much you know. It just happens.
And you can never get them all.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, it is, oh my goodness. Like, it would just be like, you know, the fourth time I did this, there was like 50 new errors. And I'm just like, girl.
It's.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's, you know, for most writers, the hardest part of a book is the edit process, you know, getting it so that it's all proper, you know. And so getting yourself someone that is a really good editor is a must, or it's a really good thing to have for any writer. Yeah. Because even if you send it to a publisher or if you self-publish it, it kind of gives you that extra bit of confidence that it's put together and it reads fine. People will enjoy the read, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm definitely looking forward to that whenever I get finished with the second book.
Yeah. It's a process. We all go through process to get there, you know, so it doesn't happen overnight. You know, I'm still embarrassed about my first books. So we don't talk about those, but it's a process. We get there and, you know, and then you'll be like Dave.
Yeah.
He's on top of the world now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Right. He's the star here, just so you know.
The star. Oh, yeah. You know, I just wonder how you experience your characters as you're writing them. Do you hear your characters? Do you have an inner monologue? Or because you have a film background, is it more, is it something that you more see in your mind's eye?
Oh, absolutely. I would actually say it's a combination of A and B. Like, I'm definitely always seeing, like, the people and events unfold through my mind's eye, and I can always hear their voices. And, like, within the first couple seconds, like, I'll know, like, a character's full name, like, their backstory, like, their motivations. I can hear the way that they're talking. Sometimes I'll even get up and act out scenes in my room. My poor roommates. I will definitely get into it, and it's also definitely helped my writing process because, okay, so the one thing I've heard is that, like, you know, with the first draft, like, you know, if you're stuck somewhere, just keep going anyway. I actually constantly commit the sin of stopping and being like, oh, wait a second. I mean, if, you know, if the error is that bad, I might have to backtrack a whole lot here. So I'll just take 30 minutes and I'll see what exactly is going on here. Like, maybe if I take a different approach, like, I'll speed things along. And for the most part, that's helped. And on some occasions, it's cost me like 36 hours of writing. But hey, you know.
I think that process is the best one. You know, I put it to when you're learning to play a piano or something and you come to a part of the song where you make a mistake, you know, a lot of people will start over again, start playing. And it's like, no, you should stop at that part and practice where you keep making the mistake until you get it right. So I think it's good to go over those when it's there in your mind and you know that this is wrong or you need to do something. It's good to figure it out. Personally, I agree with that method. So there you go. Not that
that's actually,
it doesn't mean a whole lot, but yeah.
I know. I actually like the comparison because I always think of, like, every creative venture, like, it almost feels like music to me in a sense. Like, even back when I was still doing, like, post-production on, like, video projects, like, whenever I was in the editing suite, like, everything just felt like, you know, a unique composition. And, like, I was organizing all the notes, or, like, obviously in this case, you know, clips of video, but it felt like I was composing, you know, music in a sense.
Yeah.
It felt musical.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about a little bit about being transgender and being transgender in this time period in the United States. Maybe for listeners that are unaware, what is it or how is it that you see yourself, first of all, and what you want people to know of who you are?
As far as being transgender, you mean?
Yeah, just being who you are. What is it you want? You know, you go out to the shopping mall or you go down, walking down the street and you're going to go get a coffee and you pass by people. What is it you want them to know about you? What is it you want them to think about you?
If I'm just walking down the street, you know, I just want people to, you know, stop and say, and well, they don't have to stop per se, but, you know, if they see me, they're just like, oh, there's a, you know, lovely looking lady. And then, like, you know, if I wave and say hi, you know, they continue thinking that. And for them to just be like, oh, well, that was fun. And then just go along their day. Now, during the first few years of coming out and transitioning and, you know, even medically transitioning, I found that there were some people that, like, you know, they would hear that my voice was below the average octave of a woman. And they would act like they didn't know what to do. And I'm just like thinking by my mind, honey, it's okay. You can just continue talking to me as normal. Like there's no need to freak out or nothing.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's been like the weirdest thing is just like people just freaking out over me, just minding my business.
Yeah. You know, it's still hard to believe. And there's a lot of hate going on about trans people, and there's been a lot of people that there's been a lot of assaults and even some murders now in the last years. Do you ever fear about being hurt?
See, I used to. I most definitely did when I was first coming out. But I've personally gotten to a point where I'm just like, hey, I'm living this life. I am the freest I've been out of my 33 and a half years on this planet. If I'm meant to go, I'm meant to go, and I have no control over how that's going to happen. But for the time being, I'm just going to enjoy the time that I have. I find it a shame that, you know, trans women have to get that we as trans women are at bigger risk of, you know, being, you know, killed off than, like, you know, our cisgender counterparts. But that's just something that's just been my thing. I've just accepted that, hey, whatever happens, happens. I'm just not going to worry about it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's unfortunate, you know?
Oh yeah.
And the years, when Trump came in and kind of the conservative side was running the government. So that was a bit of a struggle as well, or it made it worse.
Well, let's see. Whenever Trump was elected into office, I was still identifying as a cisgender gay man. You know, I presented as a man. Everybody knew me as a man. And even though that was my identity, I was going through a bit of an identity crisis because I would keep having these conversations in my head like, oh, you know, I'm kind of running out of time. Maybe I should start transitioning. No. Why would you do that? Your life's difficult enough. Why would you want to make it even more difficult? But then, like, about a year, it was like December of 2017. And I was just thinking to myself, well, things are getting kind of nuts out here. Even though it's not that great, I still would have a little bit more freedom than what I'm probably going to have 20, you know, a few more years down the road, because with the way things were at the time, like, you didn't know if this country was going to bounce back or if the literal Nazis were going to take over. And my thing was, well, if the literal Nazis are going to take over a few years from now, I'm going to take these 3 years and I'm going to come out and be my authentic self. And then we're just going to go from there. So I think that was my thing. It was just like, well, might as well get this over with before things get even wackier.
Yeah. Well, you know, you got to live for now because you don't know where it's going to go. Not even just with the country. You just never know with COVID and things like that. Who knows?
That's exactly right.
You know, you could step out your door and get hit by a truck and you just don't know, you know. So you have to be careful, you know, and you have to live your life because, you know, it goes fast.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, I also noticed that you have a touch of supernatural in the book. So what's your experience with supernatural? Does that come from being in that community, or do you sort of have experiences, obviously, with tarot, because you're using that as a title, like some of the card names?
So I've always been a bit on the highly intuitive side of things. And part of my spiritual awakening summer last year was being able to fully trust my intuition, because whenever I was growing up, I would know certain things. I would sense certain things in people, but every time I would try to bring it up to, like, for example, my mom, I would just be like, hey, you know, that person's kind of sus over there. And she was just like, oh, no, you don't worry about that. That person's fine. And then later on, like, give it like a few months, and it turns out they weren't so fine. But I've been surrounded by a lot of, like, very narcissistic mindsets in my teenage years, and then definitely in my 20s, whenever I just kept bumping into the wrong people, that my ability to trust my own intuition just became kind of skewed. Because on one hand, I kind of wanted to trust what I was being told, but on the other hand, I was, you know, a bit on the lonely side, and I wanted people around me. Just this past summer has helped me to, like, fix all that mess, to just be like, okay, so whenever you see a duck, it's a duck. Whenever you see a goose, it's a goose. And as far as the tarot goes, how the tarot goes, it's an extension of your intuition. So what it does is that you have to trust that the cards that you draw are the cards that you were meant to draw at the time that you drew them. And whenever you look at the cards, they will tell you what you need to know about whatever question is that you're asking.
And so, wow, that's interesting. So you said you're working on a second book now, or you're going to do a second book. Are you going to follow the same character in the book, or are you going to go completely different and get into something else?
Well, it's actually funny you ask that, because originally the second book was going to be a spinoff of this first book that I did. And Kelly McAvoy was actually going to be a side character. But the more I try to go along with it, the more creatively, like, boxed in I felt. So I scrapped that idea. I took what was left over, and I replaced Kelly with a brand new character. The new character is actually going to be a trans man character. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. I feel that trans men also have some, you know, very important stories to tell.
Oh, yeah. I think we all have an experience. So now, you're living in a smaller area, isn't it? The Ann Arbor area?
Yes. The town with the funny name.
Yeah.
I'm in Ypsilanti, Michigan, and it's right beside Ann Arbor. And the funny thing about the area is that it's relatively liberal. You know, it's performatively liberal, I'll just put it that way. But with my, like, 4 years of being out and going out and about, like, there's a difference between how people present and how they actually are. And honestly, that's just been very disappointing. It's been disappointing, but it's definitely been a learning experience.
Yeah. Well, I think that's sort of that's part of the process too, right? People,
oh, absolutely.
Well, you know, because they're in their mindset, they think they're fairly liberal, and then when they're faced with something they're not used to dealing with or used to experiencing, it sometimes makes things awkward, and they don't realize it for themselves. So in a way, you're helping them face their own, you know, their own demons, so to speak.
Oh, absolutely. And ultimately, I'm actually very grateful to be able to provide that for those people.
Yeah, Ypsilanti, that's where they had a ripper there in the 60s.
They did, actually, yes.
Ypsilanti Ripper, that some guy that he murdered like 5 people or something.
Yeah, I think it was around 5.
Yeah, it was a big deal for us old people. But that's how I remember the town. Not that you know I know anything else other than that about that. But so what's next for you now? How are you doing now? And where do you see yourself going in the next little while?
Let's see. Well, right now I am, of course, working on my second book, and I'm also doing deliveries for Grubhub. That gives me a lot more freedom to just explore the roadways, not be in front of massive amounts of people. So that's what I'm doing right now. And on down the road, this may sound a little bit cocky, but I do see my books becoming bestsellers, New York Times bestsellers. I'm just going to keep with it. And I'm going to keep trying to put my name out there. And I get a good feeling that I'm going to be catching on.
Yeah. Well, just keep focused on what you need to do and what you need to write and keep moving it and all that. How do you like people to interact with you? Do you like to do social media? Do you have a website? How do people find you?
People can find me on my Facebook page. It's Willow Starling Books. And right now, that's the only social media platform I have right now. I'm not really that pivy with social media in general. I actually try to reduce it as much as I can because that stuff can get very addictive for me.
Mm. Well, you need to get a TikTok page and get on there dancing and doing stuff, right?
Well, actually, I do have a TikTok page now that you mentioned it. Willow Starling 620.
Well, there you go. He's now so people, you know, get on there and start doing it, you know. But how was COVID for you and for writing the book and stuff? I'd imagine because it just recently came out. Did it make things more difficult for you? Or?
Well, I actually caught COVID about 14 days after I got the first shot of the vaccine. A little bit of a tragic irony there. I was a little bit bedridden. It felt like a really bad flu. It's not the flu. Like, it's definitely its own unique deadly thing, you know, just in case anybody's wondering what my thoughts are on that. But no, it was, and honestly, there's some times where I think I may have like died of COVID, and then my soul was like about to leave my body, and then it looked back down and was like, nah, I'm not done yet. Because I had this weird dream where, like, well, first everything blacked out for however long, and then I was in this like very long cavern that was just never ending. Like, you know, I would veer left, veer right. It was just this very long hollow cavern, and then I finally stopped. And there were like these walls that I kept bumping up against, and they, like, every time I bumped up against them, they got red. And it was just like bam, bam, bam. And then whenever I woke up, I made this noise. Like, I gasped for breath, like as if I hadn't been breathing for a hot minute.
Wow.
And I'm just, yeah. And, you know, people listening to this can feel free to call me crazy. I totally understand that. But there's just some days where I'm just like, did I die for a little bit, or because that was totally, yeah.
Well, you know, strange things, you know. Well, it's certainly, we wish for the best luck. And of course, we'll have the book up on our website, and we want people to go to it. Everyone should get it. Very, very interesting book. Learn something. Death, Judgment, and the Tower. And our guest, of course, Willow Starling. Thank you for coming on the show.
It was a pleasure to be here. Thank you, gentlemen, for having me.
Thanks, Willow.
To find out more about our show, guests, or to listen to past shows from our archive, please go to www.houseofmysteryradio.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up.
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show is over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.